Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It happens to me more often than not in the springtime. The spirit visits, and I can never see it, but I picture robes, something out of ancient Greece or Rome. I can only sense her presence. She places a coin in my throat. I know the coin. It's much heavier, but just slightly larger than a penny. It's not a coin for any market on Earth. It's for the afterlife, maybe to pay the ferryman. She puts it directly in my trachea. I cannot breathe. I can't free it from my throat. I clutch at my neck and gasp until I awaken, shaking, my heart racing to the point of near collapse, gasping for air. I know she's visited again, and I also know that she will return. So here's a quote from somebody who lived through something very similar.
I got real scared. I was lying in bed. I was so tired because I was working very hard then. I wanted to go to school, but I had no money. I kept waking up because I was thinking so much about my problems. I heard a noise, but when I turned, I could not move. My bedroom looked the same, but I could see in the corner, a dark shape was coming to me. It came to the bed, over my feet, my legs. It was very heavy, like a heavy weight over my whole body, my legs, my chest. My chest was frozen, like I was drowning. I inhaled no air. I tried to yell so someone who was sleeping very close to me would hear. I tried to move using what force that I can, what strength that I have. I thought, what if I die?
The quote above is from one of the lucky ones. He survived. You see, his night hag wasn't as subtle as mine. Between 1981 and 1982, authorities documented the deaths of 117 men, all in the prime of their life and in good health, killing them off in one of the most terrifying ways I can think of for a person to go. Alone, in bed, their hearts giving out as they lay entirely paralyzed, unable to move or even scream. To this day, medical science can't explain the cause of this mass death, but the men who suffered this, all of whom were Hmong refugees from Laos, knew exactly what had come for them in the night. The Da Cho.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Calderney, this is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to another spooky episode of The Shocking Details. Yes, that's right. It's spooky because it's October, Halloween month. I am Joe, joined as usual by
Vincent Caldoni.
And we've got one more spooky episode before Halloween. This is pretty spooky, I think, because this happened.
I think so.
And yeah. It happened fairly recently.
Yeah, this is not ancient history we're talking about.
No, not at all. And you found this story, Vincent. You want to introduce a story to us here?
Well, so we cover creepy stuff all year round. Always spooky season. That's Shocking Detail.
Well, true. We try to be a little more shocking in October. That's all.
True. Well, speaking to that, each Halloween, I challenge myself to find a story that really scares me personally. Like, you know, deep down in your soul, like the kind of scared you may not like to talk about. You know, we bring all kinds of macabre stuff all year round. We bring tales of serial killers, ghosts, etc. So I've worked hard to dig up some examples of the kind of stuff that really haunts me personally. That's why I opened with that personal story that I have been through many times.
Well, yeah, you got your own night hag, do you?
I got my, apparently, every spring. Today, we're covering one of the most frightening monsters that I can think of. And a part of why it's so terrifying is that the Da Cho, also known as the night hag, is 100% real, or at least her effects are. They're documented by modern medical science and are being studied right up to this very day.
And it is a big puzzle to medical science. They They even assigned it a special name, but it's got a U in it, which means unknown. It's got an acronym, which is basically, we don't know.
Yeah, but it really is. We'll get to it. There's a whole abbreviation. It's basically like, guys died.
A lot of guys died. We sure as hell don't know why. But let's talk for a sec about our victims. So nearly all of them were men with a median age of 33. So pretty
young.
All
the deaths were men.
Yeah. Oh, all of them were? Okay.
Every single one of them was a man.
Yeah. And so, and this was, again, among the Hmong population, the refugees who came over here after the Vietnam War to the U.S. They were spread across the U.S., but mainly in Minnesota and California.
Yeah.
And they had been making their homes in the U.S. since the mid-1970s. And it really actually remains unknown how many of them died as a result of the night hag. This phenomenon was not actually documented until kind of late in 1980. You know, they didn't begin tracking it till like 1981. So we're talking well over 100 documented, but who knows how many there really were. Yeah, and so they all died from SUNDS, S-U-N-D-S, which is an acronym, which means Sudden Unexpected Nocturnal Death Syndrome. Sudden Unexpected, okay. But and so that's what they all died from, was SUNDS. But, you know, it's like, this sudden unexpected syndrome. Well, that's useful. Yeah. I mean, right?
Well, right. It's basically their heart stopped at night and we are totally stumped is what that stands for.
Yeah. Nobody knows why it was young men. Nobody knows why it was all men and why it happened only at night. That's another fascinating thing about this phenomenon. It happened at night. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. one of these men died. They basically went into atrial fibrillation in their sleep and died. Mm-hmm. Not one of them just was out exerting himself at work or whatever during the daytime and died. Mm-hmm. Not one of them.
Nope. No, none of that 117.
Mm-hmm. So that's damn strange, you ask me.
It's a lot of people, man.
Kind of supernatural, you ask me.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
And I'm not sure. I never found out how many Hmong actually came over here to live after the Vietnam War. It was not that huge of a number, right?
It's not that huge a number.
No, just a few, 10,000, 20, 30,000.
Like she says like that. In that article. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the actual number was. But yeah, it's a pretty high portion of the population that died from this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as we said, we don't know how many died before the CDC started tracking it, and we don't really know how many died after they stopped tracking it. Mm-hmm.
Among the people who were investigating this, one of the things that they noted is they interviewed a lot of these Hmong people who were living in the U.S., and they asked if this was a phenomenon back home in Laos. Mm-hmm. And they said that no, it actually wasn't. No. The night hag does exist in Laos, mm-hmm. but you get certain protections in Laos that you don't get in the United States.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, let's talk about who the Hmong are for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk. Yeah. Because I'm kind of getting ahead of the story here.
Yeah, they're an indigenous ethnic group from Laos. Traditionally, they practice a form of animistic religion, believing that energy runs through all things in nature and that spirits, both benevolent and malevolent, are very real in every sense and tied to things in nature, such as trees, mountains, bodies of water, things like that. Practices surrounding these spirits and spirit energies are the duty of each individual. They have to maintain their sort of spiritual standing through rituals, offerings, and prayers, etc. Failure to do this properly will invite deleterious spirits to your house, and with them would bring misfortune, illness, and in some cases, even death.
Yeah. Although, to get a little more specific, I was reading that it was actually this obligation. And one of the ways that you did this, you had to essentially feed the spirits of your ancestors under their mm-hmm. in order to, and by feeding them, then they could actually give you protection from some of these malevolent spirits.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
This duty fell upon the man of the house. And if he failed in this duty, then the malevolent spirit would come after him. Mm-hmm. And so so in the eyes of a lot of Hmong people who were interviewed, this is why it was exclusively men who were getting killed by the night hag.
That makes sense.
Because they had failed in their religious duty.
Mm-hmm. So all of this went on for thousands of years when a major change came to the Hmong homeland, the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Yeah. You see, well, the French and then the Americans engaged in a decades-long struggle against communist forces in the north of Vietnam. The Americans had no forces in places like Laos and Cambodia. But as the mm-hmm. communist armies of Vietnam invaded, the U.S. felt it was strategically necessary, or maybe just good times, to fight a string of proxy wars in those nations.
Yeah, we did. They took up residence. And actually, even though kind of on the DL when we did this stuff, because it would have been politically unpalatable for the regimes in Laos and Cambodia to publicly admit that they were asking us to come in there and help them take out the trash, they actually didn't want the Viet Cong taking up residence on their territory.
No,
they really did not. So yeah, it's unfortunate though for those countries, because I'm sure it would have been better for us and for them and everybody if the Viet Cong had not taken up residence in those places.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
In addition to some secretive and almost certainly illegal under international law bombing raids, they hired groups that opposed the Vietnamese and or communist rule, and then armed them against the North Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. And the Hmong people enlisted in droves. And with the backing of the richest, largest, most successful military on Earth, how could the Hmong fail?
Hmm. Well, that's a story for another podcast. But the Hmong did not actually come out on top in that whole situation, unfortunately.
No.
Because, maybe you don't know this. The commies eventually did prevail in Vietnam. And mm-hmm. We left and they prevailed, and well, the rest is history. And of course, anybody who was who cooperated with their enemies was in for, well, some punishment, if not eradication. They actually did vow that the commies did vow to basically eradicate the Hmong.
Yeah.
And
even
said
the ones that had nothing
that
to do with the war were on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the way you do it. I mean, we've seen that all over the place. If you got, we were talking about the resistance in Russia during our story about what's her face? Tonya, the machine gun girl. They just to make the point clear, if they caught a resistance fighter, they would go round up his family and kill all of them. Same thing here.
Yeah, and so, that's what they did.
Yeah, and so a lot of Hmong fled Laos. And unfortunately, they didn't get a straight ride straight over to the U.S. It was a little more serpentine than that.
Well, unlike the South Vietnamese armies, they weren't officially working for us. I think is where a lot of the hang-up came.
A lot of them wound up in refugee camps in places like Thailand and under, deplorable conditions. That's usually what happens in those places. But eventually the U.S. did begin accepting Hmong refugees, along with a lot of boat people from Vietnam, et cetera.
Yeah. I think this is actually, they didn't make it here until a little after the boat people, if I have my timeline right.
Yeah, that seems right to me, too. It's been a long time. I remember being in the news back then, but the chronology, I don't know. But a lot of them did come over here, though.
And life in the U.S., it was not always great for the Hmong. Mm-hmm. In most cases, their educational or social status was kind of lost, and people who'd done things like professional work, like lawyers or engineers, were reduced to difficult and poorly paid jobs. And the U.S. economy was not doing real great in the late 70s.
No, not really. We had a little stagflation going on at the moment at that
exactly
time. Yeah.
And they're also, unlike some ethnic groups, there was not a tradition of Hmong people moving to the U.S. really. So there was no sort of chain of prior immigration to help them get settled.
Very true.
That makes it really hard on someone. One thing,
you could say that, there's other Asians here, like, there's Vietnamese here. But to the Vietnamese, the Hmong are just... Yeah. Or Lithuanians.
It's a different linguistic group. There's not a lot. There's not as much cultural crossover. They practice a different religion. And that's and they haven't always, they haven't always got along real good, as we saw in the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah.
So they were kind of on their own. And one thing that added to the stress of these refugees is that their religion was intimately linked to the land that they lived on.
Yeah.
How can you honor the village spirits if you're forced to live on the other side of the world? Of course, there was one consolation. The loss of benevolent spirits also meant the loss of the wicked ones.
Exactly. Except for one. Although, there was one evil spirit that somehow found her way across the ocean. Although, who knows? Maybe there was an identical spirit just sort of hanging out over here, biding her time, waiting for the right people to show up and start murdering them. But this evil spirit found its way into the homes of hundreds of Hmong refugees, if not thousands.
Because the
Da Cho, of course, and we're speaking about the Night Hag. And of course, attacks, and it might have been thousands, probably was, because not every attack was fatal.
No, most of them were not, as was documented.
Yeah. And so there was consternation and bewilderment among the Hmong when the Night Hag started showing up and people started dying, because they would ask themselves, how could this happen? How could this thing have left our homeland and come over here? That's not possible. From their point of view. But again, maybe it was an imitation. I'm thinking that I'm going to throw this out now. I'm thinking the Wendigo especially with the ones up in Minnesota, which is Wendigo territory. You know,
getting into Wendigo territory.
Yeah, the Wendigo started infiltrating their brains and they just found the weakest point. And I said, oh, these guys aren't inclined to cannibalism, but hey, whoa, what about this night hag? Hey.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's talk about what the dacho does.
Yeah.
So the night hag comes while you sleep, and at first it drains you of your essence. It leaves you exhausted. And once she's kind of worn you down, that's when she makes herself known. She paralyzes you with this great weight upon your chest before revealing herself to you visually. In the descriptions, it seems to vary, but she's pretty much always a vile old crone, sometimes portrayed with these sort of mirrored black eyes, almost always filthy and unwashed. Mm. She floats or flies and can even seem to teleport herself around your bedroom.
That sounds rather disturbing.
You wouldn't want that in my room at night. I mean, you sort of read the description, doesn't sound super scary, but if you woke up and there was a floating old crone with mirror black eyes teleporting herself around your room, it'd be pretty scary, man. While you're paralyzed. Well, you can't even move. You can't scream. You can't do anything.
Uh-huh. And so, yeah, the terror. So obviously there's a huge terror coming from within you. And of course, it's not rational. I mean, you know, the obvious thing to say when you've got something, some spirit like this in your bedroom flitting around, is, this is some sort of ghost. Can't hurt me, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But really nobody seems to be able to steel themselves against the terror that she brings.
Yeah.
And then she takes the final price, which is your beating heart. And she flattens you with her increasing weight on your chest. And eventually you feel your heart give out and the last of your spirit energy drains from you and becomes hers for all time. So the entire process is silent, not a single scream or rattle of the bed frame because you're paralyzed. You mm-hmm. can't do anything. And relatives and roommates reported finding these dacho victims frozen in bed with looks of terror fixed on their faces hours after they died.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty ugly.
Yeah. And people who survived her attack have struggled to put words to the fear and the pain that she places on them. It's truly supernatural. It's beyond the natural. Words failed the haunted souls who've escaped her, who I should mention, likely, as we said before, number well into the thousands. And these could also be women. It was only men that died, but women did suffer dacho attacks. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the complete death toll of the dacho. We even know less about how many were afflicted. In the 1990s, there was a professor, Shelley Adler, conducted an academic survey of the phenomenon, and she encountered resistance from the Hmong community to even discuss the dacho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what's just understandable, because how can a white lady, even a nice white lady from California, really get her mind around this thing that they had been through?
And, right.
And the spirit. I mean, they'd lived in America long enough to know that you know, we see the world in completely different ways than they do over here.
Yeah.
The deaths at that time, of course, when she was interviewing people, they were at their peak. And a lot of public health officials were writing them off as superstitious immigrants who were just basically, I guess, scaring themselves to death. I guess that was what they were thinking.
Yeah, I think it's something along those lines. They just didn't really, I don't think they took it as seriously as they could have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not that much casework was done on these deaths, with each one being treated more or less as a separate incident unrelated to the others, until somebody finally pieced it together. Shelley Adler began her work compiling these stats and then getting accounts from people. But by then it was really too late. Over 100 people had died without the medical community ever really lifting a finger to come to their aid.
Yeah.
And there's probably people right now thinking this is probably just psychosomatic. These people just frighten themselves to death, like I said a little earlier.
Right.
If you believe it strongly enough, you know, it can come true. Self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Yeah. But I mean, what, does that mean anything to the, you know, to those people who died or their family or their friends, whether it's psychosomatic or an actual creature from the world beyond, a spirit? And, you know, like, it's all kind of the same. Your husband's dead. Your friend is dead.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, but still, even if it was just psychosomatic, I mean, when you're asleep, you know, your brain's not really, you know, thinking about your deepest fears, you know, I mean, you know, and so you're just sleeping, and I don't know. So anyway, but it could be that it's ingrained enough in their culture and in their psyches that when they have a dream that sort of fits the bill as far as the night hag goes. Mm-hmm. But maybe they have an attack, you're laying there sleeping and you suddenly have an attack of like sleep apnea, which you mm-hmm. didn't know you have. And then suddenly your unconscious mind sort of fills in the blanks and while you're sleeping, and you know, suddenly you're seeing a vision of the night hag, and then wah, you're terrified and you just die. Mm-hmm. Maybe that still doesn't account for the fact that it was, you know, 33 years old, roughly, men who died, and only men who died. It still doesn't. Yeah. You know,
it's, and basically all of them were in really good health. Only one of them had any underlying heart condition that was ever detected.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So damn strange, you ask me. And yeah. It's understandable that people would like look at one or a few of these deaths and not really put two and two together. It's understandable. Yeah. And again, if I had been a medical professional in those days, even if somebody had said like, well, several Hmong have died in their sleep from heart failure, I would have probably written it off as well. They're a very discreet, insular, small population living up in the mountains. So they probably, you know, well, just a lot of them had some sort of genetic defect and that caused this to happen. That's what I would have been thinking. And that does make sense.
I wouldn't fault you for thinking that, but, you know, if you were a medical professional and not a podcaster,
yeah,
wouldn't it be your duty to go out and just check on it?
You still want to follow up, you know, and I don't think that there was enough follow up there. Because again, the whole thing is like only guys that this happens to. That's a little weird.
Only young, healthy men, and 117 of them in about a 1 year period.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people dying.
Yeah, it sure is. And so
if you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I don't know, but there is something creepy and supernatural going on here.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to get deeper into it. So we've got Shelley Adler's research tucked under our arm. We're going to have a little shot of Dutch courage, and we're going to dive in and see what really happened to these men. First, I recommend that we cool stuff off with a word from our most excellent sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Our sponsors are awesome. Buy their stuff.
Buy it all.
Yes.
Buy two. All right. So we'll be right back.
Okay. And we're back. Hope you enjoyed that commercial break. And so now into our theories. What is the Night Hag? What is she really?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a look at a few theories here.
Mm-hmm.
There are two, three, four theories. Let's see. We got, first of all, let's, you know, we've got aliens, of course.
Aliens.
Yeah, aliens is a good one. So these people are, you know, the aliens are busy like sitting on their chests and implanting devices in their nostrils and stuff. And occasionally an incompetent alien will not sedate his subject properly. And the subject wakes up and sees the alien and goes, what? And dies, you know?
I mean, it is interesting. This does definitely, and you know, people have talked about things like sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
In relation to this, sleep paralysis does have something in common with the narrative around UFO abduction.
Mm-hmm.
Narratives. while that is not actually a theory, I do wonder if maybe you could probably find your way to saying maybe this was, you know, the Hmong had moved out of their home in Laos and were now exposed to alien abduction in the United States. And they just viewed it through their lens of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
that was it. Yeah, I don't know. Or, you know, maybe the Hmong were already getting visited by the aliens on a regular basis, but when they moved to the U.S., they got passed off to another social worker among the aliens, and who wasn't as as up to date on Hmong physiology as he perhaps should have been.
Right, so, right. Yeah.
But mostly, I'm gonna kind of like say that the alien thing is probably just bogus, and we just did it just to waste your time. Yeah. Let's do something real now. Okay.
What's called the nocebo effect.
Yeah.
Because I think even medical professionals would agree that sudden unexpected nocturnal death syndrome is kind of a non-diagnosis.
I mean, it is. I mean, because unexpected unexpected nocturnal death syndrome could be somebody shoots you while you're sleeping.
It's true.
I mean, it could be. I mean, right?
Yeah. Like, it's so all vague. We know is that it's happens useless. At night. Yeah, exactly. Unexpected. Yeah. Yeah. So some people have speculated on a thing called the nocebo effect, which is described by Wikipedia like this.
A nocebo effect is said to occur when negative expectations of the patient regarding a treatment cause the treatment to have a more negative effect than it otherwise would have. For example, when a patient anticipates a side effect of a medication, they can suffer that side effect even if a medication is actually an inert substance. The complementary concept, the placebo effect, is said to occur when positive expectations improve an outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, you're thinking that you're getting poisoned or whatever. You think you're getting a side effect. You think something bad is happening to you, and it makes it worse. It manifests.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the opposite of the placebo effect.
Yeah, we see some of this with vaccines. I mean, I know people who, I've been getting, like, say, the flu vaccine for years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know people, you probably do too, who don't get it because they got it once and it made them really sick, you know?
Right.
You know, did it really? I don't know. maybe it did, but maybe they got sick, but it was just a coincidence. Who the hell knows?
Right. Well, and specifically the nocebo effect is talked about in terms of like clinical trials, mm-hmm. right? Where, you know, some people actually get the drug and some people accidentally get a sugar pill, right? That's what I mean by an inert substance.
Yeah.
And then people will say they're getting the side effects that they could be getting if they were actually getting the drug itself that they were testing, when in fact they've been given the quote unquote placebo. So that's, nocebo is based on the Latin word for harm, which is the opposite of the placebo. Yeah. So basically that is a lot of people, you know, this is what a lot of sort of skeptic people talk about the dacho mm-hmm. as being, and I don't really get it. Right? Because it's about the expectations of an outcome. But the Hmong religion says that spirits are tied to places and things in nature, mm-hmm. and moving away from them separates you from them for better or worse.
Yeah.
So I don't really think that they were expecting the dacho to do this.
So yeah, the dacho can't fly halfway around the world, or maybe she can. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good question. Of course, that's a power of suggestion. You know, once people start telling their relatives and their friends, oh my God, I got a visit from the dacho. How can this be so? You know, and that mm-hmm. Planted that thought in people's heads, like you say, you know.
Right. Yeah. It could be power of suggestion.
Yeah.
So some of the best scientific explanation I've seen comes from Adler's research, where she postulates that the Hmong's strong orthological cultural practices means that being separated from the rituals that keep one safe from bad things creates a trauma, invoking fears deep in the psyche of the individual. Combining with other traumas and stressors, it manifests in night terrors, which are intense physiological events, and an undiagnosed underlying heart condition, and boom, night hag related deaths.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I do think it is. And I don't know if anybody ever did any studies on the Hmong and to see if they had an unusual prevalence of genetic heart defects. I bet they did.
They do not.
They do not? Oh, really?
They do not. I looked this up. As near as I can tell, I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. Yeah. I don't know a lot about the Hmong, and I don't know a lot about heart disease or whatever, but they are not more prone to heart issues than any other population of people in the world.
Huh. Well, damn. Again, damn strange. Well, that's why this story is the one we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, so basically Shelley Adler's explanation is probably going to be good enough for a lot of people. Yeah. I'm personally not satisfied. Of the 117 cases, only one, a single one, was able to be conclusively linked to an underlying heart health issue.
Yeah.
That's one. One out of 117.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah. So, these people were attacked by the dacho, but, that's weird. Yeah, but all these people, so many of these people survived. And why did some people survive?
That's true. Why did only men die? Because that was another thing I was really surprised. I thought the dacho only attacked men. Mm-hmm. But when I did the research, it turns out the dacho does attack women, but no women perished in this time that we know of anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently, I guess the dacho is a little more vengeful towards, again, as I was saying, the men, because mm-hmm. they are the ones who failed in their religious duty.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, I guess that might be it. I remember reading this is again from Shelley Adler's article that she published about this. She had a quote from a woman who had received a visit from the night hag. And mm-hmm. at the time, her husband was away for the night. And she said she felt really glad that he wasn't there, because the night hag probably would have killed him.
Right.
And so it went after her instead, but it didn't go after her as hard, apparently. apparently.
So, there you go. Yeah, it's more interested in the men because they're supposed to be the, you know, the protectors or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's also really worth noting that all the men that died fell into a really tight age range. We said median age of 33, but we also know that older men and women experienced the night hag, but they survived.
Mm-hmm.
So none of them had these underlying heart conditions. Older people,
would be more likely. But an older man, say for example, say his children have moved out, and so his sons, if he had any, have married. Now they're the head of their household, and they are responsible. Those guys are responsible for feeding the spirits of the spirits of the ancestors and protecting them from the night hag and other things.
Yeah. Well, I think that makes...
Maybe that's it. Once your kids have moved out, you're no longer technically the head of the family.
No.
So maybe at that point, you know...
Just takes it easy on you.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Same thing for younger men. I mean, if you got a heart issue, it could kill you when you're 17. Why aren't 17-year-olds dying? Well, they're not married and has a family yet.
I guess. Yeah. It's wild, though. Certainly, medically, is incredibly anomalous. So, when you try to come up with a rational explanation, frankly, they don't have many good ones.
No. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I kind of suspect the old night hag is real.
I kind of do too.
I wonder, at least, which is another theory. I mean, there are them that say, not just among the Hmong, that the night hag is real. One of the questions is, of course, it doesn't seem to be taking the lives of Hmong men these days. It just did it for a while in the 1980s.
It's true. It seems to have all but entirely stopped by the early 90s, from what I can gather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do still kind of like the idea that they just came over here and picked up a spirit over here. I mean, the Dacho was living over there and they thought it was exclusive. What they didn't know is that we have dark spirits over here as well.
Well, like, so should we get into that? Because I spent just a little time looking at other stories of night hag type mythology.
Yeah, there's
there's a lot.
Don't call it mythology, damn it. That's ethnocentric.
I'm talking about there's Americans on here. There's people I'm descended from. It's a mythos, whether it's real or not. Mythology doesn't just mean things that are made up.
Yeah, I could totally picture these people coming over and getting getting noticed by the Wendigo, who decides to have himself a little fun with these people. So, you know.
Or any of the other night hags. Should we talk about night hag culture from all around the world?
Yeah, we should. To give it the stick for just a moment with our "it is real" thing, it might well be that there are a certain number, a limited number, fortunately, of demons or evil spirits in the world. Then they just sort of tailor themselves to the cultural expectations of the people that they're inhabiting, that they're attacking. And so that's why, among the Cree Indians of central Canada back in the day, they would turn them to thoughts of cannibalism and murder, but then with the Hmong, it's like cannibalism isn't a thing, but, oh, what's this? Oh, they're terrified of dying in their sleep from some old hag. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. And so, so it's real. It's real. And then we've got all these different versions of it in all sorts of cultures all around the world. It's just your basic Wendigo kind of spirit, just, you know, having a good time in different cultures, manifesting itself in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of these other theories that are out there.
The way I titled this theory is that one way to think of this is that maybe the night hag, the Dacho, is a real thing and it's a part of the human experience. Whether we're talking about night hags or succubi or similar things, I just went around Wikipedia for a little while picking up the ones that I thought fit. And I had no trouble finding much, much night hag type lore out there. To draw from, just cruising around Wikipedia. I didn't have to go super deep into this. So let's just take a look into some of them.
It is kind of funny, actually, when you get into something cool and fun and lurid like this, there's just oodles of it.
Yeah.
You know, compared to something kind of dry and boring, there's not that much. But boy, people eat this stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So in Scandinavian folklore, sleep paralysis, as we would call it, is caused by a Mara, I believe is how you'd say that, Mara. It's a supernatural creature related to an incubus or a succubus. The Mara is a damned woman who is cursed, and her body is carried mysteriously during sleep without her noticing. In the state, she visits villagers to sit on their rib cages while they sleep, causing them to experience nightmares. That's actually where the word nightmare comes from.
Oh, now that would be tough, like, because this damned woman is still alive. She just is.
Yeah, she's still out there.
So that means that, like, if you're living in some village and some people start experiencing this, you better not be the unlucky woman that everybody decides is the one responsible.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right? Oh, yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, that would really suck. What else we've got? Let's see. Newfoundland in Canada. And also as far south as South Carolina, Georgia, in the U.S., there is a folk belief there that the negative figure of the hag who leaves her physical body at night and sits on the chest of her victim, much like ours, and like our night hag, that this does exist. The victim usually wakes with a feeling of terror, has difficulty breathing because of a heavy invisible weight on his or her chest, is unable to move. So that's right here, the good old, you know, U.S. and Canada. Mm-hmm. And also in many parts of the southern U.S., phenomenon is known as a hag. Similar phenomenon, just a little different name. Mm-hmm. It's said to portend an approaching tragedy or accident. So it's not just a thing in and of itself. It's also, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Bad omen.
Yeah, omen. That's the word. Yeah. Omen. It's an omen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the hag word is found, like in Newfoundland, for example, is known as the old hag. And I don't know what the Hmong actually call it the hag themselves. The night hag, or is that?
Yeah, I believe that is what Dacho translates to. It has a bunch of names. I went with Dacho because that seems to be the one that's most commonly used in the research. But at least one of her names does translate to like old hag or something like that. Night hag. Mm.
So what else we got here?
So Ogun Oru is a traditional explanation for nocturnal disturbances among the Yoruba people of southwestern Nigeria. Ogun Oru, which means nocturnal warfare, involves an acute nighttime disturbance that is culturally attributed to demonic infiltration of the body and the psyche during dreaming. Hmm. Ogun Oru is characterized by its occurrence, a female preponderance and the perception of an underlying feud between the sufferer's earthly spouse and a spiritual spouse. Ooh. And the event of bewitching is so basically where you get bewitched by this thing through eating while dreaming. You're not supposed to eat dream food.
Oh, okay. I don't usually eat when I dream anyway. But when you say
it kind of got me thinking about that. Like, I can't think of too many times I was eating something in a dream.
No. But when you say a female preponderance, does that mean that the spirit is female typically?
Yeah, I think that's what that's supposed to mean.
I'm female.
No, I believe it is.
The spirit is
female. The spirit is supposed to be female. That's how I took that to mean.
Okay. So don't eat while dreaming, or at least, you know, I don't know. Don't eat meat while dreaming. But
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
The condition is actually believed to be treatable through Christian prayer and elaborate traditional rituals designed to exorcise the imbibed demonic elements.
These are all, again, all of these ones there. We've got our evil spirits coming at us in our sleep, just like Mr. Wendigo. So,
yeah, exactly.
What else we got here? In Egypt, they've got it down there too. Uh-huh. And they believe that an evil African queen's ghost is haunting souls.
Ooh.
So she's hanging around and trying to capture people's souls. And I guess to amass an army or just maybe just siphon off their energy. I don't know. But
yeah, I didn't really get what she was trying to get done with them.
Yeah, but so who knows why she's doing this? But sometimes she does not succeed. She's chased off by guardian spirits, which is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank God for those guys. And I don't know I'm not as up on the Egyptian thing. I don't know if the guardian spirits are like the Hmong spirits where you actually have to feed those spirits to keep them going.
Yeah, so I do think you are supposed to leave them offerings and things like that.
Probably are, yeah. And so that makes sense. So once again, if you fail in your religious duty, bad news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I included that one, because I believe that is how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
The Hungarians have a kind of similar folk tradition that is attributed to like nightmares and sleep paralysis and things like that. And they are actually attributed to a diverse number of supernatural entities, like the Wraith, the Witch, fairies. And most importantly, for our purposes, what's called a demon lover.
A demon
that comes to you in your sleep and possesses you through your dreams.
Yeah, And by the way, we've got the actual Hungarian words here that we can tell you, but there's no way I'm even going to try to pronounce those words. Oh my God. But
Borzokrani.
Yeah. So they got all that stuff. They don't have the vampire in here. Actually, that part of the world, Hungary and Romania, that's, you know, home of the vampires and all that stuff. That little corner of Europe. So,
But of course, I guess the vampires
don't come to at you in your dreams. So maybe that's why they're left out of this particular one.
Exactly. So, why don't you tell us about Malta?
Oh, in Malta, yeah. So there's the culture there attributes a sleep paralysis incident to an attack by the Hadilia, who was married to Hares, which is an entity in Maltese folk culture, which haunts the individual in ways similar to a poltergeist. So it's apparently, yeah, this is something that doesn't necessarily come at you just in your sleep, because, you know, poltergeists, you know, they're up to no good 24/7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so but luckily for these guys and their Maltese folk folk legend, to get rid of the Hadilia, yeah, to get rid of that, you must place a piece of silverware or a knife under your pillow prior to sleep. So that's easy. That's not so bad. I can do that.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, and so yeah. What else? Yeah. Also in the Mediterranean zone.
Right, we're sticking with the Mediterranean theme. In Greece and Cyprus, it is believed that sleep paralysis occurs when a ghost-like creature or a demon called a mora or varnas tries to steal the victim's ability to sleep and sits on the victim's chest, causing asphyxiation.
Huh.
I wonder if that's what I have. I wonder if that's my thing. I wonder if I've got a mora.
Yeah, actually, this played a slight role during the, maybe more than slight, actually, during the Salem witch trials, because some people reported nighttime attacks by various alleged witches, and that would sit on the victim's chest, causing asphyxiation. You know, again, you got to wonder if maybe a lot of these people just are suffering attacks of actually sleep apnea, and they're just, you know, attributing it to, you know, a spirit.
You could be, yeah.
I mean, certainly, yeah. I mean, yeah, apnea can cause you some very unpleasant dreams.
You know, yep, for sure. It can.
Because when you're choking, that which is what happens under apnea. I mean, I actually have apnea myself. Before I got it treated, I would have the most horrible nightmares. Being buried alive, of being sealed in tiny containers, of trying to eat a massive chunk of cheese and choking on it, or trying to swallow a terry cloth towel. But some of the things, especially with things about being sealed up in a tiny little container or buried or whatever, it was so terrifying.
Oh yeah,
that it would wake me up, and it was like, wake me up and wake me up hard to the point where I didn't just roll right over and go back to sleep.
Exactly.
Hit you that hard. So could just be that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, anyway, so sorry to interrupt. Let's see. We're going to our cultural survey here. There's other places.
Cultural survey of horrible monsters that come for you at night.
Well, what about South America? Did you check out any in South
America? Oh, yeah. I love me some Brazilian lore. That's something I've learned through doing this podcast. So they have the Pisadara, which is a mythological being, and it means she who steps. And this sounds a lot like the Dacho to me. She's described as tall, skinny, very old, with long, dirty nails and dried toes. She's got white, tangled hair and like a long nose, these glowing red eyes and greenish teeth. And she laughs. She has an evil laugh. She lives over roofs. It means over them or like on them, waiting to step on the chest of anyone she comes upon who's asleep. And near as I can tell, there does not seem to be an easy way to get rid of her. That night hag stays around.
Well, I guess, you know, she lives over the roofs or around the roofs. You could just not have a roof on your house. I mean, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Could move, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So what else we got? There's more modern versions of this, like on the interwebs now, even today, there's a phenomenon of a supernatural assault in one's sleep that is thought to be the work of what are known as shadow people.
Yeah, this is big business out on Reddit. If you go on Reddit pages, shadow people.
Yeah. So there's three different entities here: a man with a hat, a hooded figure, and of course the old hag.
I mean, and this is like late times. This is like stuff from the last couple of years. So the hag is still with us.
Apparently so. You know, I mean, I just don't know. The hag might actually exist. This once again makes me wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, that was kind of a deep dive and kind of a long survey, but why I wanted to go through that is because I think it's clear that this, at least this, the lore around this has been with us probably from the beginning of humanity. And yeah, there's going to be people out there who are going to immediately reach for medical explanations. And yeah. I think they should. We should study this stuff. But even if you're just you're just certain that it's a combination of psychological, physical, and cultural factors that led to those deaths, could it also be something like what we discussed around the Wendigo, right? If you believe that it can have the implied effect, and it does, then isn't, for all intents and purposes, it's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. In that sense, it's like, yeah. And if you don't believe it, then it can't touch you.
Yeah. I guess that's the silver lining, but yeah. That's the kind of stuff that scares the crap out of me, because you don't always have as much control over what you believe in and what you don't.
Yeah.
Like, well, as you might wish you do.
Yeah. Like I have not been visited by the night hag ever. Although, you know, again, as I said, I've had some nightmares that woke me up, but that could mean that I'm immune, or it could just mean the old night hag just hasn't noticed me yet. So I'm really hoping that Night Hag does not listen to podcasts, because she'll be noticing both you and me. And that would. I'll let you guys know in a week or two if things have changed with me.
Yeah, and you know, I just think that the old hag mythology and the Dacho might have more meaning to humanity than just the poor victims from the early 80s, and that maybe she's out there right now looking for you, Joe.
Could be, yeah. But, you know, at the same time, I'm well past the age of 33, so ha-ha.
Yeah, it's true. You're too old for the Dacho.
Yeah, not the Dacho. Maybe one of the other variants, though. It just depends, I guess. I think, actually, one of these days, we need to head up to, like, Canada and go looking for Mr. Wendigo. See if we can find him. That'd be kind of interesting. So we got to put something like that together. I'm sure that some of our listeners would like to come along for that too.
That could be fun.
Could be a lot of fun. Yeah, actually, we should do that. But probably not till spring.
Probably not. It's kind of cold up there right now.
Yeah. So,
but anyway, the Dacho is not.
The Dacho does not hibernate.
No, she works year round.
And so, my ultimate take on this whole thing is really there is something unexplainable there. I mean, only, you know, again, only men and of a relatively young age and relatively healthy, and they die in their sleep and no other time, not during the day.
Nope.
Again, if they have a bad ticker, then they should be killing over during the day too.
At least one of them should have, right?
Yeah, at least a few of them should. And so, yeah, this is definitely, I don't know, man.
That's why I picked it, because this genuinely scares me. This frightens me.
I mean, given that the fact that they gave it a lame acronym like sudden unexpected nocturnal death, it means that the medical community has no freaking clue what's going on either.
They really don't. And actually, I was looking around when I did the research for this to see if there were any updates, any more recent research than Adler's. And there really is not that I could find. Mm-hmm. If you can find it, send it in to us. I'd love to read it. But
that's another thing that is really weird. This is a mystery. This is kind of like something you'd think people would still be talking about, like the Glasgow effect, you know, which is, people are still scratching their heads over that one. But this thing about the Hmong and the night hag seems to have been kind of forgotten.
Yeah. And I think that's really sad. And that's kind of another part of it is that, you know, the Hmong went through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And these deaths kind of went unremarked on and have kind of been forgotten. And I think that's also really sad and also frightening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So anyway, somebody out there, scare up some fresher research on this stuff for us, okay? Email it to us. And speaking of email, how would somebody send us an email, Vincent?
Well, what they would do is they would listen to the dulcet tones of Tess Carter and get the email address and then write it using what's known as a computer or a smartphone.
Yeah. I see. Okay. So yeah, there you go, people.
And you should. We love hearing from you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Find us on social media. And I know we're begging you every weekend, but if you haven't yet, please write us a good review. It really helps us. And we read them. We read them all. And we love it when you guys send us something kind through the iTunes review or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're the Night Hag, I just want to point out that those guys over at True Crime Garage actually would make much better targets than us.
Now, if the Dacho wants to write us a positive review on iTunes, I will take her up on that.
So, yeah, no, we ain't scared of no Dacho. Not us.
I am.
Okay.
You might not be.
I ain't scared of it yet. We'll see. We'll see what happens tonight when I sleep. But
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know how it goes. Yeah,
I will. Actually, I'm not worried so much. I'm worried about later on when the episode actually drops. That's when
she's going to hear that. He's like, I'm going after that Joe or that guy. I don't like him.
Damn him. Yeah. Damn him. He made fun of me. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, folks, until next week, happy Halloween. Hope this one scared the crap out of you.
And of course,
sleep, you know, sweet dreams and all that good stuff.
Yeah, right.
All right, later.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.